The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this seventh day of March, Tuesday, 2023. And tonight, with a wink and a smile, we'll go the whole way with our board op, Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, how's it going, Pastor?
Alrighty. Also, way out yonder in the backwoods of Missouri, that infamous, that legendary pastor, Pastor Joe Larson, the country parson.
Infamous is an interesting choice of words. Let's just say a simple child of the kingdom I am, and forever I am.
Well, that, I guess that beats saying just
infamous, yeah. Infamous and famous are very different words, yes. Kind of like equity and equality. They have big differences.
Well, then you're just a simple child.
Of the kingdom.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just okay. A little clarification there makes all the difference in the world. Yep.
All right. I got it. I get it. Okay.
Okay. Just hope the listeners do.
All righty. We have, remember the title of the message?
Our God, Our Victory, Their God, Their Defeat.
And that's the way it works. And tonight I was speaking at the Tea Party meeting, the place. There was a spirit of ready to rumble. Let's take America back was the spirit of the Tea Party meeting tonight.
And, All right, that sounds wonderful.
It was a packed auditorium. People were there, and they want to take them. And we're seeing that across the country. I'm seeing everywhere we turn, people are going back, and they say, we want our country back. They're getting involved in school boards. They're going after the voter, the election fraud. I mean, they're really shining lights in the darkness. And boy, those at the FBI, they've been beating up Merrick Garland there. The Congress, I want to praise the good Lord for Josh Hawley from your state and
Jim Jordan from yours.
Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz and Louis Gohmert. We have a bunch of good ones that have been fighting the, saying, you know what, we're going to get to the bottom of this, and Ted Cruz has been one of those champions, too. And really going after Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland is a very, very corrupt, very, very, very corrupt cop. But he's getting his. They're finding out about old Merrick. So, Merrick, you need to repent and come clean. Repent and come clean. And you see that there's 16 new FBI agents that are whistleblowers saying, you know what, we've had it with that. They've destroyed the agency, and we're not going to do what they want us to do anymore. And so, praise the good Lord for those.
Yeah,
that have,
thank you for brave, courageous men, and I'd be willing to bet most of them are men of faith.
Yep. And that's what I want to say. Hats off to those FBI agents that have the courage to do the right thing. But anyhow, let's pick it up where we left off. Oh, by the way, you know, the meeting tonight we had was on the climate change, and we had Dr. Stephen Stolt, who we've had on this radio program. He's a PhD in organic chemistry. We had Sam Horowitz. He's an international climate investigator. I drove Sam home tonight. And Jim McNeil, chemist specializing in gases and environmental analysis. And here's just a quick what we had now. Here was actual science and the actual stats, the actual real numbers, the real numbers of what's happening. And Joe, since 2017, the temperature of the Earth has been cooling, not rising. The facts are, the reality is, the ice cap, the Arctic ice cap, Joe, is growing. It is not melting. It is not melting. They showed you places around with the level of the ocean, how it has not gone up at all, okay? If anything...
And Antarctica is growing. The ice mass down there is growing.
Yeah, well, that's what I just said. And so here, and CO2, you know, CO2 is very, very beneficial. We don't have too much CO2. We don't have enough CO2 in the atmosphere. We need more CO2. But the CO2 levels are not increasing at all. They are not increasing. And so... And what has happened is when there was a little effect earlier, when they detected a slight increase in the CO2 levels, guess what, Joe? There was also an increase on Mars. According to what science says, I don't know how they can measure that, but they measured it and said it. And Saturn, that there was an increase. So you don't think they have SUVs there, do you? And they're not using...
I don't think so. I don't think there's too many there on Saturn.
I don't know how they can, but they showed the stats put out to you by...
There's something about color spectrums and energy spectrums in the atmosphere. They measure the difference, and I've seen a couple of those things. It's a little over my head, but they've got some special devices that they measure ours, and then they can look at the colors and or the different things and then check out those around the planets.
Well, you know, and
some kind of long story there.
And you know how they're telling you how the polar bears are dying off? Well, the National Geographic, the actually National Geographic actually found a very, very old and sick polar bear, a very old and sick polar bear. And they followed that polar bear for days. They followed him because he was very sick and old, and he was dying until he died. And then they showed you the picture of a dead polar bear. Well, right. You know what happens? You know what happens when you get old?
He starved to death because he was old. He starved to death, couldn't hunt.
Right. But the amount of polar bears, Joe, has gone in the last decade from 22,000 to 28,000. That's an increase, Joe.
That's quite a death rate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you and I years ago told the story how there were, I can't remember, it was 10 or 12 different groups, areas where there were polar bears. One group was not doing well. They were declining rapidly, and this is what the left was focusing on, telling everybody about, but they neglected to say the other 10 or 11, whichever it was, were thriving and growing. So all they did is focus on the one that was not doing well for whatever reason. And that's the way they do things. It's kind of like 9/11. They focus, or January 6th, they focus on a few things and ignore all the other things. And that's just the way they do it. They tell partial truths. In other words, they lie by omission.
And so that whole thing is just another one of Al Gore's scams. It's one great big... Money-making sham and scam. That's what it is. But anyhow, let's get into our scripture tonight. And let's go over to Colossians chapter 1. Read me verses 15 through 18.
All right. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
All right, going back to verse 1. Who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature? Do you know what the Greek word for image is there? It's icon, Joe. It's icon.
Icon. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we use that, our world uses that word often.
Right. And basically what that word means is that Christ is whatever God is. Christ is whatever God is, okay? And so he's telling you here of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, here, let me ask you this. Let's go here.
He's the firstborn of anything that was physical in the world, right?
Well, yeah, but I had just eaten.
And the company would be spiritual beings at first, right? So he would be the first physical creature.
Right. I had just, when I got in here, just before showtime, I ate a candy bar with nuts in it.
Uh-oh.
And I got one of those caught in my throat. I'm going to try to wash it down with some lime water.
All right.
Because it's causing me to cough.
Yeah, it's interesting because where it goes in 16, because the Christ, the Word, for by him were all things created, and we know that in Romans 1, it talks about the Word, and the Word was the Creator. It was the God the Father gave the orders. But how does it read? Not Romans 1. What am I thinking of? John 1.
Well, here.
Every once in a while I have one of those senior moments and get those mixed up. But
what it is, Joe.
He said, yeah, here, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made.
Right. So what does that say about Christ? What do we call that? We call that, Joe, the doctrine of eternal generation. We call that the doctrine of eternal generation. Now, you see, if everything, Joe, was made by Christ, if everything was created by him, then he had to be eternal, because if everything was made by him, then his existence, he didn't create himself, did he?
No, he was already, you said eternal, what was that word, doctrine of eternal?
Eternal generation.
Okay.
So, in other words, he's from eternity to eternity in relation to the Father and the Holy Spirit. So you got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're all relative from eternity to eternity to eternity. And so here, he is the Son of, well, the other one, definition is eternal generation, the Son of eternal generation, or the other definition for that is eternal relations. You have eternal relation between the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Ghost, right.
So if he created everything that was created, then he had to be preexistent, and he had to be eternal, huh?
Pretty much. There's no way around that one.
No. And because so
there was no one there to create him. He had to be preexistent because everything else in our universe had a creator, except God.
So then would you say that very first verse is a very, very, very clear affirmation of the absolute deity of Jesus Christ?
Yes, extremely, without any question there, without any debate.
Okay, so for him by were all things created that are in heaven and are on earth, invisible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now, what do you mean? What do you think that means? All things were created by God in Christ for him.
for his purpose, for whatever he desired the creation to be or the result of it to be, which was to be a physical temporary home for his ultimate creation, mankind.
So, and everything was to be created for God's glory, but it says
right,
by him.
To glorify him, the heavens and the cosmos and the universe, everything was to glorify him and his power and glory.
Well then, was Satan created to glorify God?
Yes, originally.
Okay, well, I mean, even now, you know, see, Satan wasn't in the before his name was Satan. What was his name? Lucifer, right?
Lucifer, yeah.
Okay, now Lucifer was created to glorify God, but then when Lucifer became Satan, was that still meant to glorify God?
I don't think his turning away was meant to glorify God, but it served a purpose.
Well, no, all things are working together. In other words, it served
for his
a purpose.
Purpose. But not for his glory. It'd be for his purpose, but not necessarily his glory, right?
Well, no, it would actually be for his glory. Remember in Job, when all the angels were called before the Lord?
Right.
And Satan came with them. Now,
right,
what was it?
He was going to and fro on the earth. Right.
So the purpose was Satan challenged God. If we go back to Isaiah, what we read yesterday, we haven't gotten that far. So the purpose was that Satan challenges God before all of the angels. In other words, so when he challenges God, here, is this an opportunity for God to show that there's none else besides him, that there's only one God?
Oh, yeah, you're right there. Hadn't thought of it that way.
He's only the only one potentate. And so all of, even though evil exists out there, the way God deals with evil, he deals with evil in a way which falls out to his glory, does he not?
Yes, it does, because in the end, that all evil is, thrown into the lake of fire for eternity, and all that's godly and righteous will live forever.
All righty. Let's go to verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That word consist in the Greek, Joe,
is held together.
Well, no, the word in the Greek, if I remember right, is called sustainos.
It. Sorry, yeah,
it's called sustaino. That's where we get the word sustain, huh?
Sustaino, huh?
Yeah. And so, what do you think that means?
Continues on, is sustained by him. In other words, he remains in control of the universe, and everything that happens, he's in control of it.
Okay, so when we're talking about this, we says, for he's all things, by him all things consist. Now, do you know what the first and the second law of thermodynamics is?
Oh, I get that and energy mixed up.
Well, is there anything being created today? Has God
energy is never created nor destroyed.
So then God created everything in 6 days, and then on the seventh day he rested, right?
Right.
So creation is no longer taking place here, at least in our realm of reality. I mean, God may be doing something out there. He created the universe, but he may be doing something else out there. But creation came in 6 days. Now, let me ask you this. Are things, according to evolution, if there is such a thing as this evolution that they are teaching, then things will continually to improve, get better, okay? But according to the second law of thermodynamics, things are going to continue to do what?
They're regressing.
And so they're not getting better. They're degenerating, right?
Right. The universe may be expanding, but everything that was originally, all the matter, all the everything, the plan was there. It might be getting farther and farther apart, expanding, but I don't think expanding is really creation. And like you said, everything is now on an atomic level is degrading.
All right. So all things are sustained by him. I remember, do you remember years ago we used to have every 5 or 6 weeks we had a nuclear physicist on the radio program. There was a group of them we worked with, and they wrote a number of books. And they talked about 10 dimensions that they believed existed. And then they also talked about how, according to science, according to our molecular construct, that in all the knowledge they have, we should just explode. That and the same thing with the universe. In other words, what's keeping the planets rotating around the sun and all of what's happening, according to all the basics that they know of, that shouldn't be. Things should just go, the Earth should go spinning out into space someplace. Something is holding everything into place. It's an invisible force that brings the tides in. And so, according to these nuclear physicists, they're telling you that it's a supernatural force that is holding everything together, and it's a supernatural intelligence that designed the universe and everything. And you know what? I know who that is.
Yeah, it said right there. And he is before all things, and by him all things continue on, are held together.
Absolutely.
Power. Well, we know science has been looking for, quote, what the God particle. They claim there's a particle that exists in all matter that keeps everything from going kablooey. And they call it the God particle. They know it's there, but they can't find it.
Okay. And again, according to all the science that they have, we should be in a process of annihilation, everything.
Yeah.
But it's going, and it's that unseen, supernatural, intelligent force is holding everything together. And right here, God has told us what that is. It's not a secret, huh?
No.
All righty. All righty. Okay. What time is it? Let me check it out. Well, we're right there. We're up against the break. We'll be back right after this.
A strange sensation has seized the nation. Man, things are suddenly peculiarly odd. Instead of thugs and thieves of breaking down our doors, we now deplore the federal forfeiture squads who have a blessing from our Congress to take a cut of everything they can steal. Here in the land of the free and the home of the brave, things have suddenly become unreal. So please, please, federal policeman, please leave my private property alone. Please, please, federal policeman, you got no jurisdiction here in my home. When you go breaking in through somebody's private front door, you Constitution bodily harm. So please, please, federal policeman, please leave my private property alone. They got new laws now, they're calling loan fraud. Looks like our law enforcement grew a new arm. You make misrepresentation on your loan application, you might just have to forfeit the farm. The crazy fact is, it's retroactive, which lets them loot your life historically. You may be dead in your grave, but if you did not behave, you might just forfeit up your family tree. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm. Please, please, federal policeman, sometimes I wonder just whose side are you on. When you go breaking in through somebody's private front door, you do the Constitution bodily.
federal policeman. Don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm.
The ATF and the FBI just hired the KGB. The ADL's got a list for sale.
But you're anti-Semitic if you call it a conspiracy.
Now how could they call it a conspiracy?
My widowed mama, they stole her condo on another federal seizure forfeiture spree. She made the tragic mistake of renting to some reprobate they caught with drugs inside her property. They say her condo somehow is guilty. Now have you ever heard a condo confess? Here in the land of the free and the home of the slave, it's a tangled legal web of a mess. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be stealing my poor mama's estate. Please, please, federal policeman, now this is 10 times worse than Whitewater Gate. Before you pass right on through somebody's private front door, you better check that oath of office you take. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be stealing my poor mama's estate. Don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm. Sometimes I wonder just whose side are you on. So please, please, federal policeman, please leave my private property alone. Please, please, federal policeman, you got no jurisdiction here in my home. Please, please, federal policeman, don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm.
Alrighty, there you go. Now that's my old buddy, Carl Clegg. Now he didn't know what would happen on January 6, 2021, because Carl, he went home to be with the Lord in 2019. But I'll tell you this, if Carl had not gone home, if he'd been alive, he'd have been there in D.C. on that January 6th, because he is a patriot. Carl is a patriot. And you know what? The New York City government has agreed, this is an article in New York Post, has agreed to pay more than 300 burn, loot, and murder demonstrators $21,500 each to settle a lawsuit over the crowd control tactics police used. Just because they wanted to burn and loot and burn down some buildings, maybe kill some people, the police had to go and try to, and make them stop, or tried to make them stop. So because of that, that's really stupid. New York City government, that really, I mean, really, really stupid New York City government has agreed to pay every one of these criminals, every one of these terrorists, $21,500 each so they can continue to go out and burn, loot, and murder. So on Tuesday, an attorney for the plaintiffs announced that they had reached a settlement with the city. We're really stupid city government. I mean, really stupid city government. After more than 2.5 years, the agreement stipulates that each of the 320 people who met the class description would receive $21,500, with an additional $2,500 awarded to each individual who was given a legal summons after they were arrested. The agreement also covered attorney's fees for the plaintiffs that brought the lawsuit. And,
hey, who says crime doesn't pay?
It paid to the order of $6.88 million. $6.88 million. Yep.
I'd say that's crime pays.
Hey, no big deal. All they got to do is raise the taxes and.
Oh yeah, on the rest of us that are peaceful, law abiding, it's kind of like our Vice President Kamala Harris bailing out Antifa and BLM when they're riots. And guess what? The Atlanta Solidarity Fund is raising bail and lawyers for the 23 domestic terrorists there at the Cop City attacks, you know, where 21 of the 23 were out of state and a couple were from Canada and France. But the liberals are doing what liberals always do. This solidarity friend, Atlanta Solidarity Friend, you know, hiring, paying for lawyers and bail for all those domestic terrorists. I mean, what could possibly go wrong when you encourage terrorism.
One of the terrorists was a lawyer from the Southern Perversion Law Center.
Yeah, the ones that call you you and me bad names. Yeah, we're the terrorists. We're the ones that are the problem, but he's not, right?
Right. That whole Southern Perversion Law Center was started by a bunch of pedophiles.
But probably is run by them still.
Yeah.
Be my guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow.
You know, this, by the way, just for comment, this Cop City terrorist attack, this was what I would actually call a real insurrection. It was well planned. It was well organized. They had weapons. They had explosions and different things, material to set fire, burn. This was an insurrection, but they're calling it a peaceful protest, whereas the guys on January 6th that just maybe broke a window or, you know, pushed through a door are being charged with insurrection, destroying, you know, Western civilization, the Constitution, our form of government. We can see the hypocrisy of the new left here that we're facing, the Communist Party in America.
Well, to us, hypocrisy is repulsive. But you have to understand, to them, hypocrisy is not. In fact, all you have to do is go to Isaiah
it's
chapter.
It's necessary. It's a requirement of membership.
Right. And Isaiah chapter 32 explains that perfectly. It explains it. You know, I mean, very clearly. And so, but the vast majority of people are biblically illiterate, huh? But anyhow.
And some of us have forgotten a lot of what we once learned, that it was like, what, a vile person shall no more be called liberal, for the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy, practice it.
You have to understand. Joe, you have to understand something. When that was actually written, the word liberal had a positive connotation on it. Liberal was a good thing. When that was written, a liberal was someone who was with their own money, with their own food, with their own property.
Right.
Today, a liberal is...
That's called liberalism today, until, you know, what, 30, 40 years ago.
Today, a liberal is someone who's generous with other people's money and other people's freedoms, other people's freedoms. But he says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness and princes shall rule in judgment. So we know that's a specific time he's talking about, huh? That would be during the millennial kingdom.
And a
man shall be as a hiding place in the wind and a covert from the tempests and rivers of water, a dry place. The shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Now, we know who that rock in a weary land is, huh?
Right. God is the rock of Israel. Jesus is the rock.
And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall not hearken. You know what that means? He means at that time, now right now there's a lot of things that we trust God, but there's a lot of things we don't understand out there. And there's a lot of people out there that, they're kind of simple-minded, but they got a good heart, and they get saved. But listen to this. And the heart of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly.
Plainly.
So now you're that. In other words, during that millennial kingdom, there's things, a lot of people, I know people that know what they want to say. They know what they're trying to say, but they can't put it in words. And it's very difficult for them. And they stammer. But listen to this. The vile person shall be no more called a liberal. In other words, at this time, up just prior to the time that the Lord comes back and sets up the millennial kingdom, prior to that time, a liberal will be a vile person will be called liberal. Does that sound like today, the
very
days
much
we're living
like
in?
Today, yep.
And the churls
line for that vile person will speak villainy. Yes, oh, right there.
Yeah, well, go back to where.
Right?
Go back. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. Do you know what a churl is?
Is a miserly person. They're usually
right,
surly, difficult to get along with, rude.
Right. For the vile person shall speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. And the instruments of the churl are evil. He devises wicked devices, destroy the poor with lying words, even when he speaketh right. But listen to this. But the liberal devises liberal things. There you go. And yeah. what do we call that today? Now, again, like I said, remember, this was written here more than
2,800 years ago.
Yep. And so, there you go.
I counted backwards.
Yeah. There you go. Alrighty. You were going to hit on the January 6th thing?
Yeah. Tonight was Tucker's second night. And a lot of reiteration, a lot of time spent on the liberals' reaction to January 6th. And, of course, Chuckie Schumer was yelling and screaming. And I don't need to go into detail on it. It was just hateful rhetoric. Even Senator, what's his name? We were talking about the Republican head of the Senate.
McConnell?
McConnell, you know, was against all this. So the footage and everything speaks for itself, that they were calling it, you know, Tucker was trying to create a narrative. Well, that's exactly what the January 6th committee did. They made a narrative, you know. They created it, and Mitch McConnell said it was a mistake, in my view, for Fox News to depict this in a way that's completely at variance with what our chief law enforcement official here at the Capitol thinks. We have that, you know, McConnell is more than a rhino. He's a turncoat. He's a traitor. He and his wife are filthy rich from all their business dealings with China. He needs to go. In fact, I think, you know, if they'd ever find out, he's almost as corrupt as Biden when it comes to making money through China. And so what we found out, that there are a lot of Republicans were going against Tucker releasing this information. And you and I know, both of us through our whole career in radio, sunlight is the best disinfectant. It was 100 years ago. It was 50 years ago. It still is.
Well, those aren't really Republicans. We call them the raunchy rhinos. The raunchy rhinos.
That's what I said. He's almost a traitor, you know, rather than even the rhino. There was one interesting thing. He did have a lieutenant that with the Capitol Police that was in charge there of the center. He had not been informed of the dangers. He was running around trying to secure the congressman and then running around trying to secure the senators. And he had called for help, got no response. He called and asked for advice, got no response. And he thought this was so weird. He wasn't warned. He thought, well, there may be a big crowd, but there was no warning given him. And then after everything was over, this man's a Christian, which is probably why the January 6th committee never talked to him. Nobody interviewed him, no press, no one from the January 6th committee, no investigator. And Tucker showed film of his going around locking doors, making sure that the congressmen were safe, the senators were safe. And then remember back when they had made fun of the senator from my state, and Josh Hawley, he was accused of being cowardly, fleeing the mob. And they'd been making fun of him and laughing. Well, Tucker's films showed this was all false. the Capitol Police had come along and were collecting all the senators. This one lieutenant was in charge, and they were ushering them away from the danger. And Holly was one of the last ones at the tail end of the group of all the senators being guided out by the police. And they had filmed him by himself and made it look like he was running in fear, that he was a coward, when in turn he was like the last man to leave. So right there shows just how totally the left lies, deceives. And if you believe anything that they have said about January 6th, that film of Josh Hawley, instead of all the jokes about watch the coward run, he was the last one out, and that's why when they filmed him, he was alone trying to catch up to the group. There were, you know, police were signaling, come on. This is, it kind of encapsulates the entire story of January 6th, doesn't it? The lies, the deceit.
Well, we know, remember from the very beginning, we renamed them as the Liars Club. Everybody on that console that was sitting there was as crooked gets. I mean, every single one of them. That's the whole thing with the Democratic Party today. It's like you have to be corrupt. Everything that God's Word, the Bible teaches, they embrace the opposite. Everything. I mean, they hate God and they love death. There's nothing. Nothing about the Democratic Party that has not been totally and completely corrupted. It is completely and totally. See, that's why they keep running their people as Republicans. That's why they have these Democrats. They register, and we keep trying to warn people. We had that right out in our county. We had here in the state of Ohio. We had a number of those Rhino Republicans.
Yeah, several of them, yeah.
Yeah, and
the other interesting thing on this was when you look at this whole situation, these people are angry. They're yelling. They're screaming. They're mad. They've got to stop, you know, Tucker Carlson from doing this. It's immoral. It's illegal. It goes, you know. If they didn't have anything to hide, they wouldn't be this excited and upset about it. You know, somebody calls us a name or criticizes us for something, we just tell them, yeah, okay, yeah. You know, if you're not guilty of anything bad, you don't get that excited. And they are, I think, afraid, because the more and more of the stuff that comes out. In fact, even Elon Musk came out, and he said this. He kind of came down hard on the lefties and the Democrats, and he basically blasted them for hiding evidence for partisan political reasons. And he came out, he said they lied about numerous events. And besides misleading the public, they withheld evidence for these partisan political reasons. It sent people to prison for far more serious crimes than they committed. And he said, that is deeply wrong, legally and morally. In other words, the people that put a lot of these people in prison, we've got people now that are, 24, 26 months. They've been held without bail. They have not had, their attorneys have not had access to all of the information. In fact, I'm sure they're going to be asking Tucker Carlson to get a chance to look at some of the films. This is unconstitutional, un-American, and they're calling these people insurrectionists, dangerous. And yet we see, you know, Antifa and BLM burning buildings, burning churches, burning a car lot, and they call that mostly peaceful protest. So Americans, we need to be ashamed of our government. We need to be ashamed and angry that we have these people leading us. These people need to be thrown out of office, thrown out of power. America has now turned into even worse than a banana republic, because the leaders claim they stand on the Constitution. You know, it's become a joke to the world.
Let me read you here a little bit about this. This is a long list of fundamentally unconstitutional things that Biden has done. I mean, you know, about everything he does is unconstitutional. I don't have time to go into the whole thing, but we could do this.
I was just going to say, we only have an hour and a half, Pastor.
Right. I'm just going to start in one little section of this. Officials have encountered more than 1 million migrants at the southern border just since the fiscal year began. Now, that's 1 million this year. Now, let me just say this, that remember, Joe, before anybody else was saying it, we were telling you, they knew it, but they weren't saying it. We knew it, we were saying it, that the Biden crime cartel, their job, Biden's job, given to him by the Chinese Communist Party, was to keep the southern border open so they could have a free flow of fentanyl, a free flow of human trafficking, and a good supply of children for the Democratic pedophiles, okay? That was Biden's job, and that's why he did all that he can and why he's still doing whatever he can to keep the border open and let all of those terrorists come in, because he's working, he's owned by the Chinese Communist Party. Here, Customs Border, let me go on. Customs and Border Protection sources confirmed to Fox News that migrants attempting to cross the border into the U.S. reached 1,008,217 as of February 4th. Of those, now listen to this, Joe, 87.8% were single adults. Fox reported that just 328,454 were expelled under the Title 42, the pandemic era protocol that allows border agents to rapidly expel border crossers. Now, the number of illegal immigrant encounters at the border over the past 5 months is double the population of Wyoming, or equal to the population of Obama Biden's home state of Delaware. The White House and the Homeland Security Department did not immediately respond to the Daily Signal's request for comments. There you go.
Hey, well, something we can back up. You remember when we, too long ago, talked about Cloward Prison? There was a couple that had a theory or a way. It was a method to destroy America, break it down so that the revolution could be fomented. And I got to thinking, you know, as much as that was publicized, the Chinese communists read, heard, and understood the Cloward Prison concept. And that's what they're using with that open border, flood the country with all these people. Look at New York City's talking about how many millions of dollars. They're spending, what, $5 million a day to house and feed the illegal aliens they have. That's just New York City alone. And we have these, what, 3 million illegal aliens running around all over the country. Look at the drain on the healthcare system. Hospitals are going broke on the border. The doctors and hospital health clinics are being overwhelmed. The schools are being overwhelmed. The social services are being overwhelmed. And is creating havoc, plus all the drugs and the crime and the gangs that are coming in. It's destroying America. And all the communists had to do was pay off the crime cartel, the Biden crime family, and open the border and let all the real insurrectionists in that are destroying the country from within and bringing it down.
Well, absolutely. World
well,
News Daily.
We're not supposed to say that to people, are we? Weren't we supposed to keep that a secret?
Yeah. World News Daily Center. Why do 30% of the girls want to die? This is amazing here. Patrice Lewis sees teen self-hatred as a fruit of radical leftism and toxic feminism.
Right.
Yeah, she's absolutely right. Go ahead, I'll let you do her.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say she's right on the money on that. You know, feminism was supposed to raise women up. They were supposed to, you know, be able to go out and compete and be equal and all this. And that was kind of the theory. And then we found out that a lot of the feminist theory was created by a man. Helen Gurley Brown's husband was the one who came up with a lot of it. It was a joke. We did that on the radio. But what these feminists are doing now has hurt our young girls. The CDC, from data from 2021, that almost 6 out of 10 girls felt persistently sad or hopeless. This is the highest number ever recorded. And there was a column out there, trained to hate their sex and selves. 1 in 3 teen girls now consider suicide. This is an increase of 60% from a decade ago. So what's happened? We've destroyed our children. This is just one aspect. I was looking at some other stories that went along with it. There was a story in Study Finds, Beauty Obsession. People are spending 4 hours a day to enhance their appearance. 4 hours a day to enhance their appearance. Ernie, I don't think you and I fit in that. We would bring that figure way down.
Hey, don't bring me into your ugly jokes.
No, I'm just saying that we'd bring that 4 hours down, right?
Yeah.
Way down.
Yeah.
There was some fancy model, Samantha Fox. I don't know who she is, but she's talking about how all the young girls, how it's scary, how they're all rushing to plastic surgery and using Botox and fillers, or having lip fillers, and they're having, what are they called? They're putting fat in their bottoms to make their bums look bigger, and she's just lamenting what these girls and everybody's going through to change their appearance. They have to have larger breasts, larger buttocks. They have to have surgery to change their nose, and like I said, these fillers and plastic surgery. And all of a sudden, feminism was supposed to raise women up, and what's happened? They've been turned into sex objects. Every girl, you know, it's how you look, how you look, how you look. And then they're hit with all these things. We saw remember back, all of us that are old enough, JonBenet Ramsey, this little girl they tried to dress with makeup and dress to look like an adult. They totally sexualized this little girl, and they were having all these young beauty pageants for these little girls. And what we've done to our children is a crime, America.
All right, Joe, you know what's happening is these poor girls are very confused because they're, you know, here they're developing breasts, these in, you know, junior high school, whatever, and here these wacko teachers are telling them, well, you know, you're really a boy. It's too bad that you have the plumbing of a girl, but you're really a boy. And so they're confusing these young girls that are confused enough as it is.
Yeah, that's an emotional growing up is hard.
Yeah, it's not good. This is why we've been telling people to get your kids out of the public schools. The number one gift for graduation in the public school for girls, at least it was up until, I think it still is breast enlargements. That's the number one graduation gift.
Yeah.
That these young girls were getting. That there's something very wrong with that, Joe. Very wrong with that. We're coming up to a break.
And
when we come back from the break, I want to tell you, we're going to go to Stu Peters, and I'll tell you a little bit about Stu Peters and Karen Kingston. And so get ready. We're going to a break when we come back, and I'll tell you about this. And we're going to have a little bit of a clip, so we'll see you in a few. Be right back after this.
Light the fire, light the light, we are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian Resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.